give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made a choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. You are the shepherd of my soul, and I give you full control.
A shepherd leads his flock. The Lord will always guide us, show us where to walk. And in times when we have plenty, in times when we have not, He is our provider, and His mercy never stops. Like a shepherd, He leads us like a father.
Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here? Wow. It's a blessing to be here. Surprised to see Bishop Saki here. I realize this is not a strange place. Wow. What a blessing. Let us pray. Father, thanks a million for this opportunity. Guide us by your wonderful spirit. Shall we all stand for a moment, ask the Lord to touch your heart? Ask God to speak to you this morning. We've already heard a lot of things. Lift your hands and pray for the spirit of revelation. To share with you 120 reasons why you must be a soul winner. Amen. Number one, you must be a soul winner because that is the great commission, the great command, the great mandate, the great instruction, the great order given to us by our Lord Jesus. This command to go into the world and win souls, right, was given by Jesus. And if you love me, keep my commandment. He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of by my Father. And I myself will love him and manifest myself to him. So Almighty God is going to manifest himself to you when you take this great commandment seriously. Today, we are no longer taking this great commandment. This is not called the great. Jesus didn't say this is the great commandment or the great commission. I think it was William Carey or Hudson who went to China who called it the great commission. Like among the commands and orders of the Lord, this is a great one. Go into the world and preach the gospel. It's our great commandment and commission, instruction. And as we follow this great commission, we are demonstrating our love for Jesus. Amen. And so, following this great commandment is going to open the doors of great blessings for your life. You will never have to struggle for certain things when you follow the great commandment. Why? Because John 14 verse 21, if maybe it would be a good idea to turn to it, because it will help you to see what I'm talking about a little better. All right? John 14, 21. He that has my commandment, my commandment, and keepeth them. Amen. He it is that loveth me. You see, some people don't have the commandment of God. Alright? But once you are here today, this is the commandment of God. Go ye. The great commission. Is, you know the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, the great commandment is the great instruction of Almighty God. And he that has my commandment, and keepeth them, he is the one that loves me. Amen. You see, love is decided by the one who is receiving it. A lot of people, you know, a lot of men, you know, even they sing songs, they say, I love you, darling. I love you, baby. And they mean sex. And usually the one who is receiving it, the woman who is receiving the sex, doesn't see that as love. A lot of times. Are you with me? Yeah. They don't see it as love. But sometimes it's other things they see as love. You know, but everybody has what he thinks is love. But you must remember the great lesson of love is that love is determined by the one who is receiving it. So you may be doing something, you know, you think you are loving the person, but that is not what the person wants. Many men who are rich, when they want to show their wives that they love them, they buy them a car. But many women don't even know the difference between a Hyundai and Benz, Mercedes Benz. They don't know the difference. But for the man, he has done a great thing. Do you understand? He has done a great thing. One day somebody bought a car for his wife and came to park it in my car, in my house. Now he was going to surprise the wife with this beautiful car. And I was thinking to myself that he doesn't know that his wife doesn't even know the name of the car. That when he takes the car, do you see? But I didn't say anything to him. So Toyota, whether it's Toyota, whether it's Hyundai, whether it's Opel, whether it's Mercedes-Benz, many women, or ladies, is it not true? They don't even know, but the man there, because men like cars, it's like he feels that he has done a very great thing. Hey! So, love is determined by the one who is receiving it. So, if you say you love God, he's explaining the person who loves him, who loves God. And the loving of God is here. It says, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of by my Father. And I also will love him and manifest myself. Manifestations of Jesus' love on your life. Manifestations. Yes. How many want manifestations of love? Yes. Manifestations of love. He it is that loveth me. So, soul winning activates such verses. Because winning souls and becoming evangelistic and staying on the course of the word of God, of the reason why Christ came to this world, will greatly activate such verses on your behalf. And you'll be so happy that you have followed such a wonderful thing. Amen. Are you still there? Or you are going home? Wow. First John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Amen. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. If you say you love God, the love of God, keep his commandments. Don't talk. Don't make excuses. Don't give reasons. Keep his commandments. Amen. Amen. This is the love of God. Now, God lovers, people who love God, are entitled to manifestations which non-God lovers are not entitled to. Amen. Amen. When you love God, and not that you love money, or you love anything like that, Jesus will manifest himself. That is why people who love God don't even pray about certain things. It happens to them. Turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91. I know you all know Psalm 91. Okay, I will not argue with you about that. But you just look at something. This is blessings for lovers. Psalm 91, verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me. You see, he's talking about, God is talking about somebody from Psalm 91. Remember, he that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge. Surely he shall deliver thee. He shall cover thee. Thou shalt not be afraid for the pestilence, for the destruction. Thousands shall fall by thy side. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High, there shall no evil befall thee. He shall give his angels charge over thee. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Now notice, because he has set his love upon me. You see, this is, now he's about to explain a blessing for people who love God. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. You'll be delivered from so many things just because you love God or just because you are winning souls. If loving God is keeping his commandment, and keeping his commandment is keeping the great commandment and the great commission, then winning souls and therefore loving God will lead to you being delivered from many things. And I will set him on high. Hey. Because he has known my name, I'm going to lift him high. You see, many people are struggling for promotion, but they don't realize that loving God is the master key to promotion. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. This is for loving God. You see, he starts the verse with, because he has set his love on me. These are the following things you can expect if you are a God lover. Which means, loving God is not having sex with God. You can't have sex with God. Loving God, you can't buy God a car. Okay? You can't give God chocolate. You have to keep his, he has shown you how to love him. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. That's what it means to love God. And now he says, because he has set his love on me, I will deliver him. Number one, I will set him on high. you are going higher in the name of Jesus. Look, do not be afraid of being an evangelistic and soul-winning pastor. Don't set aside the will of God for becoming a prosperity teacher. No! The kind of highness that God is taking you to can never be accomplished by preaching about prosperity and spending all your time and all your efforts saying that you are bringing prosperity to your people, which is not a great commandment. It is a side effect of the blessings of God. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. So the blessings have to come first. When the blessing of the Lord, you can't be blessed without becoming rich. When you are blessed by God, riches come. But there's no need to spend all the time promoting riches and the lust for money in the church. It's an evil thing. You are magnifying an idol, a profound, ultimate idol in the church, and lifting up a huge Baal and a huge God in the church. Blessings of the Lord maketh rich. Seek rather that God should be pleased with you to bless you. And he says, because you have set your love on me, I will deliver you. There are so many things that you can die from every day. Every day. You may not know. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. You see, God did not promise that those who love him will not have trouble. Many lovers of God have a lot of trouble. But he says, I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. God is about to honor you. And with long life, long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Rarely do you see evangelists having short lives. Yeah. Almost all the evangelists I know, they become very old and find it difficult to die. Because with long life will I satisfy him. Look at Billy Graham, 96 years old. He's finding it difficult to die. How to die is a problem. It's a project. It's a project for him to die. Yes. Lester Samuel died. He was 80 something years old. His nephew told me that he died at a young age of 80. He was 80 something. It's very young for him to die. In his family, he's too young. T.L. Osborne, 80 something. Bonke is getting to 80. And Maurice Cerullo is 86. These are the people we've known as evangelists who've gone around the world evangelizing. Huh? Are you still here or you are leaving? I said, we said, with long life I will satisfy him. You will find it difficult to die. Hey! And show him my salvation. These are the blessings of people who keep the commandments of God. Look at pastors today. You have set aside the Great Commission. A pastor can hardly preach about salvation today. When you give them and say, preach about Christ, preach about salvation, you see that they don't know how to preach salvation. Yes. Most of the time, I notice pastors sitting in wonder as I am preaching about salvation at the crusade. Yes, they're always wondering what I'm going to say. Because if it was them, they wouldn't know what to say. Is it not true, pastors? Yeah. That is why I put together this thing called the evangelist. This has got 200 evangelistic sermons. Like yesterday, I preached about Zacchaeus. Yes, Zacchaeus. A pastor, an evangelist, you must be able to take Zacchaeus alone and teach salvation. Oh, there are so many stories. It's endless. You must be able to teach about salvation and preach. And if I give people, recently I remember I was somewhere, a man of God who is a lot into science and wonders and doing so many things. I came, he attended my crusade, and whilst he was sitting on stage, I announced that today I'm preaching about being born again. And he told me after that, when I announced born again, he was wondering that what am I going to say in my sermon for 45 minutes to 1 hour. I say born again. What are you going to say? He was wondering. He was honest. So that is why. So after the service, make sure you get it. That is the key to be. He says, I will set him on high. You'll not be struggling every day. You are struggling for money. If we were struggling for money, do you think we can come here? We took an offering at the last crusade. The crusade that we are just coming from. The night. The whole offering, $300. The whole offering, the whole crusade. The next day, $300. All the crowd, when you add all into rands, into dollars, is $300. If we don't have money, do you think we can come here? Even the fuel, to buy the fuel from Port Elizabeth to this place, East London to here, is thousands. Stop struggling and preaching about the wrong things and focus on the main reason why Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. And the main reason for you being a pastor and you being a servant of God, it will provoke so many things in your life. You will not pray about it again. He said, I will show him my salvation. I will set him on high. I will honor him. Therefore will I deliver him. I will be with him in trouble. Hallelujah. Oh. Most people, when a bad thing happens, the verse they go for is Romans 8:28. Do you know that verse? Romans 8:28. When something bad happens. But let us stop using that verse to teach about when something bad happens. Put it up there, Mrs. Screen Man. And let us start using this verse to teach about the love of God. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. You know, sometimes the things that happen in life, you can't ask yourself that, this one, how can it become good? How can this one become good? I mean, unless it's magic. So this verse is trying to say that magic will work on your behalf. Amen. Hey! But it says, and we know that all things work together for good to Christians. To what? To Christians. To pastors. To members of churches. No! All things work together for God, which is magic, happens to them who love God. Amen. It is people who love God who have this power of things working. When it's bad, it turns like that and it becomes good. When it's bad, it turns and it becomes a good thing. Even when you marry the wrong person, it will turn and become a good thing. When you have a wrong child, the child will turn into become a good thing. When you make a mistake, yes, it will turn like this and you see that it become a good thing. But it's not for everybody. It's not for Christians. It's for them that love God. We know that all things work together, huh? For good. What? You sinned, but you love God. You see, like David. David sinned, but he loved God. Who loved God more than David? And God said, I like this guy. Oh, yeah. I like him. The way he sings to me, and in the wilderness, you'll be singing to the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I mean, God was charmed by David's love. Yes. Yeah. David said, because of my affection, my proper affection for the house of God. Because you can't love God without loving his house. One of the ways to love God is to love his house. David said, because of my proper affection, the affection I have for the house of God, I've set aside all these things. Yes. God said, I like him. I like this boy. A man after my own. God chose him. God chooses lovers and he sets them up high. His father brought the first boy, Eliab. And Samuel said, this must be. He was nice and tall and handsome. God said, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature. Stature means, one of the meanings of stature is stage of development and achievement. Don't look on his stage of development or his achievements. For God seeth not as man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. For I have refused him. They brought another one called Abinadab. He said, I don't like this guy. They brought another one called Shammah. He said, I don't like this guy at all. I don't like this pastor. If God were to line 7 of us here, one by one we'll come and say, I don't want this reverend. I don't like this guy at all. Then bring another one. No. I don't want this one. Bring another pastor. Next pastor. And they bring you. Don't look on the outer. Don't look at his Mercedes Benz. Don't look at his height. Don't look at how handsome he is. Don't look at his suit. For man looketh on the outward appearance. God looketh not as seeth, not as man seeth. Then which one? They say, that one. This one. Who people don't even recognize. And he said, I will set him on high. And I, God, I will honor him. And I, God, I will be with him in trouble. I, God, I will, with long life, I will satisfy him. David, he died, the Bible says, full of age, full of riches, and full of honor. Full of years, full of riches, full of honor. God lifted him out of his, from the, with the sheep. As soon as God anointed him, the next moment, they were asking for musicians. There was an announcement in town. We are looking for instrumentalists. Instrumentalists. The king wants an instrumentalist. Yes. And when he came to the palace as an instrumentalist and a musician, within a few days, he became the darling boy of the palace. Everybody like him. To become a darling boy is from God. I tell you that you are now the darling boy. You are chosen. You are asked for. You are liked. Wow. Just, they started asking, is there any instrumentalist in town? The next thing that happened was Goliath. Two things happened after he was anointed. Before trouble started in his life. And the first two signs of the anointing was being called out, having opportunities to fight, to make him, You see, that word David and Goliath, it's a word that is used up till today more than 6,000 years later. When they say David and Goliath, David and Goliath. God gave him that day, never to be forgotten. It was the opportunity of his lifetime to step there and to throw a stone at this man just once. Opportunity comes to those. He said, I will set him on high. Immediately after that, the ladies in town started singing. Saul has killed 1,000. David has killed 10,000. Saul has killed 1,000. David has killed 10,000. And Saul heard it and said, hey, now I've killed only 1,000. This small boy who has killed only one. They say 10,000. Wow. David has killed 10,000. He said, I will honor him. He began to be respected in town. God lovers are destined for a completely different future from people who don't love God and are preaching about money and other side effects. I can't get up and start preaching about honor, 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 honor every day. Honor, honor. Honor comes after you love him. Because he has set his love on me. These are the things that come because you love him, not because you are seeking for honor. So pastors, let us take the 120 reasons why we should be soul winners as a very important thing, because God himself has given us the great commandment. And commandment of God is when you see a commandment of God, try to follow it. Because he that has my commandment, John 14:21, he that has my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I myself will love him and manifest. Manifestations. That's when the money comes. The manifestations, money, car, this, that. So many things, you can't use it. You cannot use what God will give you. You can't even use it. Because you can sleep on only one bed. You can drive only one car. You can sit on only one toilet. Ah! Are you listening to me? Yes. Become a God lover. When you become a God lover, your life will be so different. Many pastors are like Shammah and Eliab and Abinadab. When we line you up here and Jesus is to point to you, they'll say, no. That reverend at all. Let him sit down. That the bishop, he should go. This one is Reverend Shammah at all. 7. I don't like. Look, one pastor, a friend of mine, he had a vision. He's a Nigerian pastor. God showed him the list of the top 200 pastors that is in heaven, how they rank them. The top 200 ministers of God in Nigeria. And his name was not in that 200 list. Yeah. And he's one of the main pastors in Nigeria. Yes. Because God seeth not as man seeth. Yeah. I don't know if they were going to choose the top 200 pastors in South Africa. You may be surprised that some of the names you think will be the top 200, they will be in the last 40 names. They will be there. It's true. Oh, Lord, we are fielding our top South African ministers. And they bring them out. Top South African ministers. 1, Reverend Elias. Don't want this man at all. If you look at my life, me, just my own personal life, you will see a strange collection of people. around me, a strange collection of people. You may never know why a person is there. Yes. See, God has his reasons for using people and choosing people. You see, me, when I became a pastor, most people didn't expect me to be a pastor. And they didn't even like it. One pastor, he admitted it. He said, look, when I saw God using, I said, what? This is a, look, not from somebody. These are his words. He said, why Doug? My name is Doug. Why Doug? Like, why? Why? How? Why? Why Doug? Of all people, why? He said it, I mean, like, he was giving an explanation for something, and then it came out. Why Doug? Yeah. If you look around the Lord, our Lord God, our Jesus, you will see a strange collection of people that you may not choose. Yes. But usually they are God lovers. That's why they are there. You see even murderers. Murderers. Most of the Bible was written by three murderers. Majority of the Bible was written by three murderers. Murderer number one, Moses. Remember, he was wanted in Egypt for murder. He killed somebody. Second murderer is David. Remember that he killed somebody's husband and took the wife. Eh? And then the third murderer is Apostle Paul. You know, he was killing. In fact, he was on his way on another murder mission. When he was arrested. I said, if you look around God, you'll find a strange collection of people that you may not choose. Yes. But he would. That's why Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come. Come down. Today, I'm coming to your house. And you should see Zacchaeus' response. Zacchaeus was amazing. He said, I'm turning around. How many are going to be God lovers? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Put it up on the screen. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. Verse 6. Quick, keep moving. Oh, I should go to my... Will you be able to keep moving? Who is the one doing it? Okay, so keep moving with me, okay? Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse 7. But we speak the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Amen. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, this is another verse that a lot of people quote. As it is written. Huh? Eye has not seen. They will be prophesying. Thus says the Spirit. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into your heart what God is about to do. But it's not what God is about to do. Eye has not heard. Well, when you say eye has not heard, like you haven't seen it before. Ear has not heard, means you have not heard of it before. It has not entered your heart that it's not a thought that can come to your mind. Like, I never thought I'll be in King Williamstown. I don't even know King Williamstown. It has not entered my heart before. I've not seen it before. And I've not heard of it before. I've not heard of King Williamstown before. This is one of these verses fulfilled here. Yeah. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for Christians. These are things things which God has prepared for Christians? These are things which God has prepared for believers. Believers, men of faith. These are things which God has prepared for men of God. These are things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Like God lovers, like people who love God. In other words, people who obey the commandment, the great commandment. When there is a commandment and it's a great commandment, Charlie, you better be serious and follow the commandment, pastors. That is why we are not seeing certain things. Eye has not heard. Ear has not heard. Eye has not seen. If I start to say the wonderful things that I have seen, which I never thought I would, that it did not even enter your heart. But it is for people who love God. I want to turn your attention. I want to turn your attention. I want to bring your attention to God Himself. Especially those of you who say you are in the ministry. How many people here are pastors? Wave at me if you are pastors. Wow, so many pastors. If you are pastors, I want to turn your attention to the one who you love, because I know you love Him. But you are not loving Him well. You know, sometimes somebody can love you, but the person doesn't know how to love you. Like, maybe the person loves you, but doesn't know what to do. Or even all the things the person does, you don't feel the love. Yes. Many of you are married. You see that in your marriage, there are certain things that you want, but it is not being done for you. If it is true, raise your hand. If you have seen, you want certain things. Only those in this section are seeing that. May God provide for you whatever you need in Jesus' name. The rest of you didn't receive it because you are not raising your hand. But I said, how many of you are married and you know that there are times you wanted certain things that if those things are done, you will feel the love, but it wasn't done for you? Raise your hand. Father, heal them in Jesus' name. Look, pastors love God, though. Pastors really love God. But God doesn't feel the love. That's why somebody said, if I give my love for you, what will you do with it? If I give you my heart, what will you do with my heart? Will you tear it apart? Oh, because some people don't know how to love. And I'm trying to tell you how to love your God. A pastor is somebody who has other things that he can do, but he has chosen that. After me, I like the house of God. I want to be in a church most of the time. It's not an ordinary person. Anybody I see, that person says, I want to serve God, I'm a servant of God or a minister, I know, because I am also one, that the person loves God. But you see, as you are serving God, you can go astray, and before you realize, you are not loving the person you claim to love. And he doesn't even feel it. That's why Jesus said, John 14:21, he that has my commandment and keeps my commandment, he it is that loveth me. Wow. Pastors, you say you are a pastor. You say you are a man of God. Do you know one of the strangest things in the world? It would be like seeing a lion walking in King William's Town. Is to see a pastor standing in King William's Town, going from person to person, witnessing about Jesus Christ. It would be as strange as seeing a lion walking in King William's Town. It would be very odd. Say, look at Reverend. Look at Bishop so-and-so. What's he doing? He's witnessing. He's talking to This child is talking to this person. After that, he goes to this shop. He's going street by street. It will be as strange as seeing a lion or a hyena walking outside freely. Very strange sight. It will be one of the strangest things. You rather, who are a professional minister, a professional who is supposed to love God so much, keeping his commandment, it will be strange to see you doing something like that. Wow! We are very far from where we ought to be. If I give my love to you, what will you do with it?
Did I make a mistake when I chose you? Should I have chosen another person or anointed another one? And how many times will I give you dreams and visions and powerful convictions? Still you don't obey. The reason why I'm asking this question, you take it so lightly, you take me so lightly. If I give my heart to you, will you give your heart to me? And if I die for you, will you die for me too? If I give my love for you, oh, what will you do with it?
What will you do with it?
Will you tear it apart? Or will you treasure it? What is the point of showing so much love when I get so little feedback from the person I love so dearly?
What is the point?
I wanna know if it all means nothing to you. What I am saying doesn't touch you. You don't care about what I care for. See the reason why I'm asking this question.
The reason why
you take it so lightly. You take me so lightly, yeah. If I give my love for you, oh, will you give your love for me? And if I die for you, oh, will you die for me too? If I give my heart to you,
what will you do?
What will you do with it? Yeah. Will you tear it apart? Or will you treasure it? If I give my heart to you, yeah.
Will you love me back?
Will you love me back? If I give my love for you, will you tear it apart? If I give my heart to you, oh, what will you do with it? Will you cherish my love? Will you tear it apart? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. Whoever believes in Jesus should not perish but have new life. And God commended his love toward us. Oh, and while we were yet sinners, Jesus died on the cross for sinners. The reason why I'm quoting this scripture, it seems you've forgotten all about them. Yeah. Jesus gave his life for you. Oh, will you give your life for him? Will you tear it apart? Or will you treasure it? If I give my heart to you, what will you do with it? Will you despise my love? Treasure me. Oh, if I from you to an appreciated person who will not take my love for granted. Do you know how long I've been waiting? Have I waited in vain for nothing? It seems like you never really loved me. The reason why I'm speaking this way, broke my heart and you took me for granted. Yeah. If I give my heart to you, oh, will you give your heart to me? And if I die for you, will you die for me too? If I give my love for you, oh, what will you do with it? Will you tear it apart or will you treasure it?
Father, we are sorry for complete deviation from loving you. Have mercy on us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 120 reasons. Doctor, 120 reasons. This book. I've just finished one of the points. If I am to do all the 120, we shall be here till January. Number two, you must be a soul winner because we are all called to this great work of soul winning. Matthew 22 verse 14, many are called. Matthew 22 verse 14, many are called. No, give me the book. So the last shall be first, and the first last. This book, many are called, is a very important reason. It's a very important book, and it's a very important teaching that we need. Amen. Now, many people are called by God. But it looks as though there are few. As I have traveled around South Africa, one of the things that I always notice and feel is that there are a lot of people in South Africa, but not many know God. Am I right or wrong? Yes. And the only way to fight this is to begin to teach and believe that many are called. If you don't believe that many are called as a pastor, you will never teach the wonderful things in this book. For instance, one of the things that I have written in this book which will be a great blessing to you. This is actually my favorite book. If you give me one thing to preach in a church, if I go to a church for the first time, I always preach from this book. Yes. Many are called. Christians are not called to sit down and do nothing. But many Christians all over the world and in South Africa do nothing. They come to church, bless me. Man of God, bless me. And they go back, that's all. But it's time for us to stop saying, what can God give to me? And it's time for us to say, what can I do for God? Not what can God do for me. What can I do for God? What can I do for God? But when you don't teach that many are called, that it's not just one person, one pastor, one church, one person who is called to actually work for God. If you only teach that only one or two people are called, most of the people do nothing. Most of the people do nothing. And for the church to work, look, for our churches to grow, you must start to campaign. You must read this book, because many are called because they are called, but they don't know they are called. That is why one of these chapters says how people, different people, were called in the Bible. When you read this, you will find out all the different ways which people were called. And it will amaze you. And you'll find out that many people are called. You know, some people will stand and tell you, I saw Jesus. And Jesus appeared to me. How many would like Jesus to appear to you? Most of us. But most of us will not see Jesus appearing to us. Many people were called in an ordinary way. And not in a spectacular way. Up till today, I have not seen Jesus appearing to me. Two times, in fact, more than twice. But I remember two people. I always remember sitting there when they were saying it. One explained, said Jesus appeared. He went to pray on the rooftop. And Jesus appeared to him on the rooftop. Hey! And I was looking and I said, wow, rooftop appearance of Jesus. Then another guy was also preaching, a bishop, and he was also preaching and he spoke about how Jesus appeared to him and commissioned him in the ministry. So as I was sitting there feeling very discouraged that me too, when is Jesus going to appear to me? And the Lord said to me, listen, blessed are they who have not seen and yet they believe. Amen. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet they believe. And then the second thing the Lord encouraged me, he said, look, you see this person who has, he said that Jesus appeared to him at the rooftop. He has written one book and printed 5,000 copies. Or 2,000 copies or 5,000 copies. You have written many books in many languages. Over 11 to 12 million of these books. Millions. Yes. Over 11 to 12 million of these books. Yeah. So, even though he has seen Jesus, you haven't seen Jesus. But, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. And the fact that you haven't seen doesn't mean that he has not called you. Yes. Some of the most driest trees, apparently, have been some of the most fruitful trees. Somebody like John Wesley, you never hear of say any vision or nothing like even a dream. Hey! But he worked for God. And he built the Methodist Church. All over the world, we are experiencing and enjoying it today. Wow. So many people are called. But you don't have to be discouraged. And when you teach people, you see that people will be sitting there and realize that, wow, I'm also called. I never knew I was called. Because one of the ways that God calls you, see, in this book, is through a desire. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, if anyone has a desire, anyone has a desire to be a bishop, it's a good thing. Check. Is he married to one wife? Two. Does he drink? Three. Does he quarrel? Does he fight? Does he know the word? That's all. Let him come and work. And you find out that desire is one of the cardinal things that God uses as a sign of your calling. Because I tell you, it's not normal to desire the church. You desire church, you desire to fast, you desire to be in the house of God, you desire to work for God. Most people don't desire such things. And you find yourself desiring such a thing. It's because of the call of God on your life. That is why you have such a desire for and the interest in God's work. It's because of the call of God on your life. Go and read 1 Timothy 3. He says that if anybody desires, just check the marriage, this, all those things. That's it. As I'm here, I have still not seen Jesus. But we are having almost 2,000 churches from the same source. 2,000. It's a lot of churches. Yes. It's a lot of churches. Including South Africa. Yes. We have so many churches in South Africa with our own buildings. All over. Yeah. So I'm explaining to you. Look, one day a pastor came to stay in my house. You know. And he left after 3 days. I saw him about 5 months later. And he was telling me, hey, something wonderful happened when I came to your house. I said, what happened? He said, the second day I was in the room. He was staying upstairs. My house is upstairs and downstairs. He was staying upstairs. My room is here. And then I put him in a room here. He said, the door opened. And suddenly Jesus entered. I said, what? He said, Jesus entered the room. And Jesus said to me, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out his hand and he said, he put something in my hand and my hand began to burn. And he said to me, I've given you a new anointing. I said, wow! So when he said that to me, I was quiet and then I pretended that I was very happy and I said, oh, it's wonderful. It is a great thing and so on. But inside me, I was not happy at all. Because you see, what I want to say is that if you are coming to somebody's house, will you not at least see the owner of the house first before a visitor who is coming for 3 days? Wow! I was not happy with Jesus at all for passing me by. That's why I always sing that song, pass me not, O gentle Savior, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. Jesus will not pass you by. Amen. So, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. If it seems you have not got any fantastic light, you have heard a voice or a light, or you've seen Jesus. Most people don't have that. Some do. But even God shows that even those who don't have that, many of them are used to do many things. God has shown me miracles. Yeah. I've not seen Jesus before. I've seen miracles all the time. Yeah. Wow. So, many are called. Amen. And, many are supposed to do the work of a shepherd. Where is it? Yeah. What it means to be a shepherd. Many people can work for God and become shepherds. A shepherd is somebody who looks after people. But most of us don't know. You see, not everybody is called to write things. But I believe it's one of the callings that I have to write some of the things. You see, when I became a pastor, I was first a doctor. And in the hospital, on Mondays, we have major ward rounds. Tuesdays, clinic. Wednesdays, major surgery. Thursday, we have, minor surgery. Friday, emergency. So every day we have something that we are doing. So when I became a pastor, I also wanted to know what work am I going to do on Monday? What work am I going to do on Tuesday? What work am I going to do on Wednesday? As a pastor, do I need a briefcase? As a pastor, do I need complimentary cards? As a pastor, do I need a flag? What do I need? And that is why I began to learn what it means to become a shepherd. And I've been teaching all the people in the church, they can become shepherds. This one was a medical student, and I taught him how to become a shepherd. Many years ago, more than 20 years ago, I taught him how to become a shepherd. And he became a shepherd whilst a student. Before he became a doctor, he was a shepherd. Then he became a specialist doctor. And he became a lecturer in the medical school. He's a very highly qualified doctor. But now he has left all those things. And he's shepherding and preaching and building churches everywhere. Because I don't believe that I am the only person who is called. Many are called. And many can become shepherds and learn the art of shepherding. The art, this book is called The Art of Shepherding. Like, how to shepherd and how to be a shepherd. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That is why, and you see, pastors must study what it means to do the work of the ministry. You people, you don't know. Look, the ministry, there are higher levels. Oh, yes. Recently, I went to the Philippines. And I met a pastor and I went to the church. Look, when I entered the pastor's office, I was amazed. The office would be like this, even a little bigger than the whole of this building. Yeah. And on the wall, on the walls, you have the map of his city. There are more than 10 million or 15 million in that people in that city. On the walls, we have map after map areas. Every area with all the streets. Then pins on the map. Every pin is somebody. He knows everybody's house. Everybody is a pin. You see green, green, green. If there is a family, it be blue. If it's one person, green. And you see every street. And they visit the members every 3 months. He visits all the 30,000 members that he has. I'm saying the ministry, there are higher ways and higher levels. Some of us are operating like herbalists or like almost witch doctors. You know, as if you were supposed to be a doctor, you are like a herbalist or a witch doctor. Hey! The art of shepherding, what it means to be a shepherd, and transformation of your pastoral ministry. These three books teach about pastoral work. And I believe Doctor was sharing about some of these things, right? Yes. You see, in my ministry, I was in a classroom. It's been transformed into a worldwide ministry. I am invited everywhere I can go. Even just now, I was telling one of my aides that I want to cancel. I've been invited to South America to one of the largest conferences in the whole of South America. But I was saying that I can't go because I'm coming to South Africa for a crusade. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. when I'm being invited to come in just at January, and I say, I'm tired, I can't go. Not that I'm tired, but it's like a lot of movement. Yeah. Yes. I used to be only in the classroom. Four walls. In fact, the classroom was buried because there was a church there before. They start at 9 or 8:30 and they allowed us 6 a.m., 6 to 8 in the classroom. Only children. There was nobody in my church, only children. I was a pastor of children. Nobody had even a car. Nobody in the church was married. Nobody had a car. Nobody was married. Nobody had money. Oh, yes. Even Tuesday service, only about 7 people used to come to weekday service. 7 people. So we make a circle, and then I preach to the circle. Yes. My ministry has been transformed. That is why I wrote the book, Transform Your Pastoral Ministry. Because what you are having there can be transformed. You see, a lot of pastors are not in full-time ministry because you don't know that it's a serious job. I'm a doctor. I've been to university 7 years. After matric, whatever, 7 years in 1982 to 1989. 1982 to 1989, 7 years. I was in university. So I'm a doctor. I still practice medicine. Yes. And I am telling you that to be a pastor is more difficult than to be a doctor. It's more. So when you see a pastor who doesn't read, have you seen doctors, the books that doctors read? You even feel sorry for them. The books that doctors read. Big! Big! Everything is plenty. You can never even finish. So when you see pastors, we are offering here what we call the Makarios. God has touched my heart to put all my books together as a special library for pastors and for serious leaders. And you see pastors looking at the book and saying, how much is one? Do you have samosa here? We want samosa and Coca-Cola. It's fantastic. And you see that many people are not prepared to do what they have to do to transform. I never used to have miracles in my life and my ministry. Never. Oh, no. Look, I remember one guy, he left the church because he said, I have no power in my life, in my ministry. He laughed at me. Even one day I had a vision, I saw Satan laughing at me. It was his face that I saw laughing at me. But God put it in my heart. Even if they are laughing at you, you can amplify. This one is called Amplify Your Ministry with Miracles and Manifestations of the Spirit of God. It's possible. And today, my ministry is amplified. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amplified. That's why I wrote these books. You see, all my book is how to do it. Because if God can use me, then what about you? Do you know that I've never been chosen before by anybody? Oh, yes. I was even surprised when my wife said, when I proposed, will you marry me? She said, yes. I was surprised. Even when my wife took me to see one of her sisters, all the sister said was that, if that is what you want, we accept it. If that is what you want, we accept it. I've never been a class prefect before. No one, all the teachers from class 1 to 6, no one chose that you will be the class prefect or assistant prefect. Never. Some of you have been class prefect before. Raise your hand if you have been a class prefect before. Look at them. Plenty. You see, you were chosen. Some of you have been school prefects before. Raise your hand if you've been school prefect before. Look at them. Wow. Some of you have been assistant school prefects. Raise your hand if you have been assistant school prefect. One over there. So many. Me, all my schools. Never class prefect, school prefect, assistant prep prefect, dining hall prefect, house prefect, assistant prefect. Never. Even blackboard monitor, the one to go about, I was not chosen. So if God can use me, He's going to use you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That is why I am always encouraging people, read. And that is why I wrote this book. And these books, they are very powerful. Look, one day I went to Kenya, Nairobi. After I finished preaching, a man came there. And the pastor knew him. He said, this one wants to see you. I said, okay, he should come. He came to sit down. He said, Bishop, I want to just say something. He said, you can never know what you have done in my life. I said, what have I done? I don't know you. He said, look, some years ago, I came across this book, The Mega Church. He said, I thought you have written only one book, this book. He said, I never knew you have written more than one book. He said, I took it. Me and my wife said, I was working somewhere. We didn't know anything. We took the book. Even in this book, there's how to start a church. One of the chapters is how to start a church. He said, we read the book and we implemented, my wife and I, in our sitting room. He said, today, he said, everything that was in this book, we have followed everything that he said. Today we have 700 members sitting, like not computer records or chairs, real 700 people. And if you count here, we'll be about 100 and something people here. 200. 700 people are sitting there on Sunday morning. This book. So I've learned to respect the books myself. Oh, yes. It's a blessing to you. And when he said that, I thought you had written only one book. That is why I made the library so that all the other things, the Macarius library, you'll be able to have it. And that is a blessing. Clap for Jesus. Ida. How many are blessed? What a blessing. Many are called. Serve you for the rest of my day. Again, I'll serve you. I'll choose you again. I'll follow you again. I'll choose you earlier if possible. Wow. Point number three, 120 reasons why you must be a soul winner. Point number one is because it is the great commission, the great commandment. Point number two is because many are called to this work. And point number three, you must be a soul winner because you were created to carry out the good works of soul winning. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. Now, it is very important that Christians concentrate on the good works which Christ has called us to. Because there are many good works a pastor or a Christian can do. We can provide water for the community. We can join the political bandwagon and fight for freedom, isn't it? Fight for democracy. We can provide computer schools for people, isn't it? We can provide vocational schools, isn't it? We can help HIV victims. We can help the poor. We can provide food. Doing so, help drug addicts. Visit. So many things we can do. So what are the good works that we are supposed to do? Because your life is short. By the time you realize it's over, you'll be hearing the bell, king, four years to go, 4 years. Doctor can diagnose you and say, maximum lifespan of this disease is 4 years with treatment. With treatment, the maximum is 4 years. Yes, when it's treated, it stays for 4 years and you are off. Oh, yeah. You see, right now, medicine is so advanced that they give you the time, and also what it is that they have had 1,000 patients before you, and they know when they treated this one, he still died by this time. When they treated it, died. So they have accurate time. So what is happening is that in our life, we are hearing things that are like bell, K, 20 minutes to go. British Airways, if you sit on British Airways, always 40 minutes to landing, they always announce, ladies and gentlemen, we have 40 minutes to landing. 40 minutes to landing. They like that thing. On British Airways, always 40 minutes to landing. It's the only plane that does that. Are you listening to me? That is how your life is. Soon you will hear. 4 days to go. 4 years to go. 6 years to go. Like that. Even if you don't hear it, count how many years will you be by 70. if you get 70. It's some few years. Yeah. So, you can't waste much time. Today you are digging boreholes. Tomorrow you are providing electricity. Next time you are frying chips to go and give to people. Next time you are making clothes. Different things. What does God want you to do? Look for 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to fry chips. He has anointed me to dig boreholes. He has anointed me to join ANC. He has anointed me to fight for freedom. No. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach. If you want to know your destiny, look into the Word of God. Jesus looked into Isaiah and he saw this was his calling. John the Baptist looked into Isaiah, also saw his calling. Make straight the paths. Make the way of the Lord straight. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. These are the good works. Preaching. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Another one, preach again. Two times he says preaching. The next fourth one is healing again. Recovering of the sight to the blind. And the fifth one is set at liberty them that are bruised. So, two times he mentioned preaching, and the first thing, the first good work of anybody who has the anointing of the Spirit is preaching. He has anointed me to preach and not to preach physics, chemistry. Supposing I came and I gave you a chemistry lecture this afternoon. Do you think I don't know chemistry? I know chemistry from O level, A level, university chemistry. And I know biochemistry. What? If I'm to take you through chemistry now, you'll be surprised. You think I don't know biology? I did biology and I've dissected a human being for 18 months. I dissected, I was given a dead body. I dissected from head to toe. Divided and dissected in small pieces to become a doctor. If I'm to teach you anatomy, where the kidneys, where is this? You will be amazed. If I'm to teach you psychiatry, mental diseases, and I start mentioning the different schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorders, depressive disorders, manias, and other diseases, you will be amazed. If I'm to teach you ophthalmology and diseases of the eyes, pterygiums and cataracts and other diseases, you'll be amazed. If I'm to teach you surgery, the operations that slice you from here down, open and cut. If I describe to you surgery that I myself have done, skin to skin, I cut open, go inside, bring the intestines out, do various things, sew it and put it back. Me. As I'm standing here, you'll be amazed. But that is not what I've been anointed to preach, physiology. Abba! So you see pastors standing here preaching economics, finances, wealth management. And they have substituted gold and they are using brass. Preaching brass because it looks like gold. And you see them ministers of money. God is not against us having money. If we don't have money, we couldn't come here. I said the last crusade we had, when we took the offering on the field, all the offering, $300. Yes. $300. Can only buy one of these. One. Are you listening to me? Yes. Don't worry about money. Preach the gospel. Gospel, gospel. Gospel, gospel. That's what the anointing is for. Preaching the gospel. And then somebody even changed it and said, preach the gospel to the poor. That means money, because they are poor. The only good news to a poor man is that he will be rich. That if you are poor, the only thing that is good news to you is that you will be rich. So it means this one, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, means that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news of financial prosperity. Wow. Pastors, God should have mercy on us all. So, this is what we are anointed to do, preaching. And even lay people can preach. Lay people is this one, Lycos. I have a book called Lycos. It's lay people, laymen, lay pastors, where you work for God without being paid. Yes. Many of the people that are working around, they are not paid. They volunteer. Said, oh, we want to work for the Lord. But in South Africa, everybody, to play the organ, we have to pay you. Hey! To come and sing in the choir, we have to pay you. All these are vampires drinking the blood of the church. Don't pay any more organists in your church. Don't pay them. You are wasting your money. Train the children in the church to play out of love for God. Out of love for God. But I love God, so I play, I sing, I dance. Nobody has to pay me. You know, I have some dancers in my church. They were in another country before. And one of them was telling me, he said, we have learned so much since we came to Ghana. He said, we used to dance for money. He said, we are such good dancers. When you see them dance, you know that they are very good dancers. He said, we used to dance for money. You pay us, we dance. He said, since we came here, we are not being paid. Now, we have now learned how to dance because we love God. Wow! Look at you. Is it not a blessing to be able to sing, to be able to play? Why do you have to charge for everything? Huh? Supposing I was charging to come here. Yes. Supposing my speaking fees is $40,000 to come here. Can I ever come here? You cannot pay. You see, then the ministry changes. When you're charging and you have to make people pay, your whole ministry will become small. Most of the places you have to go to, you cannot go again because it's about money. So South African churches, stop paying for things and start letting people do things because they love God. It's that, do you love God? Do you have an opportunity to love God? This is your good opportunity to love God. Even controlling the sound, you see people, just to increase the sound from 4 to 6, we must pay you. Hey! We have to pay you just to increase it. We won't pay again. I said, we won't pay again. Don't pay all these things. You can learn how to connect it. Go on the internet and check it. And then connect it and leave it. That's all. And do it yourself. Every pastor should know how to connect instruments. I used to connect the instrument myself all the time. We can arrange the church. We have to pay you to sweep the church. Nobody in the church can come to sweep the church early. Nobody can come early to pray, arrange things. There's no volunteer in this place. What type of Christian? Then where will you get a chance to express your love for God?
So, oh, Bishop, you know, in our case, it's our profession. You see, this is our professional. We are professionals and we have a lot of things that we do in our time and so on. So, you know, we must be paid for what you are lost. It is you are living in a small world. You don't know. There are places people just work for God out of the love for God. And they also have work to do. They also have things to do. But you don't know. You don't know. You are cut off in some small microcosm, small world. You don't even know. You go around, you see people just love God, and they are not dead. They are not dying because they love God. They serve God. They work, but they also have a chance. This is my chance to express my love for God. When will you get a chance to do something for the Lord? How can you say thanks to the Lord for all that He has done for you? So, brothers and sisters, let us work for the Lord. Amen. Now, another very important set of books here is these ones on the anointing. You see, the anointing comes on you for a reason. If I give you money, why did I give you the money? For something. And Jesus has said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me for what? Preaching. Preaching and healing. Jesus went about all the villages preaching, teaching, healing. That is why God anoints you. He anoints you so that you learn how to preach and you preach well. You preach and you will be called for to preach in many places. When you are anointed, one of the signs you are anointed is you are called for. David was called for from his house. As soon as he was anointed, the next thing was that he was being called to come to the king's house. You'll be called in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll be invited in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a sign of the anointing on your life. Amen. Amen. Are you still around?
Yes.
Now, the anointing is what you need. Many pastors are not anointed. Many pastors are not. They have certificate from Bible school, but no anointing. You know, I have two phases of my life in the ministry. Unanointed and anointed. These are the two phases of my ministry. Unanointed and anointed. Yes. I started in the ministry without anointing. Yes. And I was in a classroom. Yes, I was in a classroom and I had just about 25 or 30 members. I had zeal, but I was not anointed. I loved God, but I was not anointed. I knew things in the Bible, but I was not anointed. Yes, I had been a Christian for many years, but I was not yet anointed. That is why I love to speak about the anointing. Because the anointing marks the divide between the first part of your ministry and then the next half of your ministry. It's divided by the day you become anointed. It's divided into two. Your life is divided into two by the anointing. Now, when I started a church, I went through so many crises. And one day, I had an opportunity to go to a town called Suhum in Ghana. Suhum. Say Suhum. Suhum. Not King Suhum town, just Suhum. Yes. And when I was there, it was in my final year of medical school. Final year, last year. In a few months, I was going to become a doctor. And I had started a church. But I still did not have anointing. And I didn't know. When you don't have anointing, you don't know that you don't have anointing. When you are anointed, you realize that before you were not anointed.
Ah.
Yes. That's how the anointing is. When you are not anointed, you may be doing something, but you don't know that you are not anointed. So anyway, I was in this town for one month. During the 1 month, I had some free time. I used to just pray. And when I was going there, I bought some tapes. Which is the reason why I have also brought these materials. Because I don't want to be someone who doesn't share what happened and how you can have this. Just one is fine. It's fine. This is fine. Amen. So if I take this, it's called the Makane Extra. There are three of them. Makane Extra, Makane Iron, and the Makane. Yeah. I have them. They are all here.
One day, around 8, 7, 8 in the evening, I had some special bread from a certain town called Insawam. They have some special bread. I bought it. And I was drinking coffee and eating that bread. That was all I was eating. And I was praying on my knees. And I knelt down by my bed. And as I was praying, I fell asleep. Then I woke up at about 2 a.m. still on my knees praying. And that I was listening to a message by Kenneth Hagin. Tape was playing. My wife, she's my wife now, but she, at that time she was just a friend. She lent a tape recorder to me. It was auto reverse. So when it finished, it comes back. When it, so from 7 o'clock, it was playing without stopping till the morning. So at 3 a.m. when I got up again, it was on. And as I was listening to the tape and the message was going, suddenly something jumped from the tape and entered my belly. I could feel it enter. And then I heard a voice in the room. And the voice said, "From today, you can teach. From today, you can teach." 1988. Ezekiel chapter 2. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me." Look at it. The Spirit did what? Entered into me when? When did the Spirit enter into me? When he spake. You see, when God was speaking, the Spirit was entering. So the Spirit entered into him when he spake. So that's why that night, as he was speaking, the Spirit entered into me and said, "From today, you can teach." He says, "He set me on my feet that I heard him that spake unto me." Yes, the Spirit entered when he spake unto me. Look at verse 3. "And he said unto me," you see, he said to me, "From today, you can teach." But this one, because that was my I was being commissioned to the ministry. That's how come I'm here today. 27 years later, I am teaching. Even when I stand on the crusade ground and I am evangelizing, you can see the teaching anointing is in the crusades. Even you can see that. That was the mantle that fell on me that night. You see, he said to me, "From today," mine was very short. This one is quite long. "He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day." And verse 4. "For they are impudent children, stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. Thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord." All this I didn't hear. Mine was very short. "From today, you can teach." Then he also said something that he said, "I will prove it to you." And he has been proving it to me. Yes. If there was not a power working in my life, these 40 books will not be translated into Malagasy. This same thing is in Malagasy. You know Malagasy is the language of Madagascar. It's a, these books will not be translated into French. They are in French. They are in Spanish. They are in Portuguese. They are in Chinese. They are in Korean. They are in Russian. I'm invited to Russia. When I meet them, I ask, what book do you know? They'll say, "I say, what is that?" They'll say, "Mega Church." Hey! Hey! Do you know any African South African who is being invited to Russia. His books are translated into Russian. I don't know any Ghanaian whose books are translated into Russian or Spanish, Portuguese, Mandarin, Chinese. This is in the library. You see it like that. Russian, the Chinese, Hungarian, Polish. Languages, plenty. If it was not a power, go back to Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand up, and I will speak to thee." Verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. And he said, and set me on my feet. Wait. And he said, verse 2, verse 2. That I heard him that speak. The Spirit entered and he set me on my feet. Usually when God speaks to me, I feel a jump. If I'm lying down, I just get up like this. I just, because the revelation of what God says to you is such that like, wow. It's like, so I can remember places that he spoke to me. Like one time I was in a hotel in Ghana. And I was just, it was in between a crusade. And the Holy Spirit told me to start some churches in Ghana, which I hadn't done. I mean, I was surprised. I just got up in the room. He said, he spoke to me and set me on my feet. But I heard him that speak unto me. Yeah. From today, you can teach. You see the anointing? You can't see it. But you can see the effect of it. Like, it's like the wind. You see the wind, you can't see like there's wind coming from here or from somewhere. You can't see. Jesus said, he that is born of the Spirit. You know, things that come from the Spirit are like that. You can't see. It's like the wind blows. You can't see. But you can see the effect. Like if there was not a power, I cannot come to King Williamstown to stand here and I'm teaching in a conference in the morning. No. Think about what it would take for you to be transported to Ghana to hold your stand up, to hold your pastor's conference in Suhum in Ghana. You've arrived, you are holding a pastor's conference. Think about, yes, with your tracks and everything. It's not a small thing. No. Before you can even go to Polokwane to go and have. Yes, it's power. And I don't need anything from you. I don't need. If you give offering, fine. If you don't give, it doesn't. It will not change anything. If you don't give, it won't change. It won't make us not come. It won't make us go. It won't nothing. It's a power. It's a power. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Look at it. That is why I love this book. Catch. The anointing. That's why I love this book. Steps to the anointing. But I think maybe my favorite would be sweet influences. You see, the sweet influence, like it's there's something that is influenced, but you can't see what is happening. It's like it's mysterious as it's happening. The sweet influence of the Holy Spirit. One of the ways you know the presence of the Holy Spirit is evangelism. Because the mission of the Holy Spirit is evangelism. He says, you will receive power after my Spirit comes upon you. And you will set up NGOs. You will provide water. You will provide electricity. You provide food for the poor in South Africa. Isn't it? Is that not what it says? You receive power after my Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses. Witnesses where? In Jerusalem. You will be witnesses in Judea. Witnesses in Samaria. And witness. And wow. You shall receive power after the Spirit has come upon you. And you shall have 3 cars. You shall have 4 cars, 5 houses, 20 million, 40 million. Wow. Look at Acts 10, 44. Peter was preaching. Do you remember this scripture? There's a scripture which says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Do you remember that? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's verse 38. It's part of the sermon. That's Acts 10, 38. So he continued preaching up to God to verse 44. Peter was preaching. This is Apostle Peter. He's preaching powerfully in Cornelius' house. Now look at what happened. Look at what is about to happen. Look at what's about to happen. Verse 44, my darling. While Peter yet spake. While Peter was preaching. While Peter yet spake, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Wow, those who were hearing the word. You see, that is why I brought these things to listen to. Because this is what happened to me. That's how come I'm here. If there was no anointing working, I could not be here. Surprisingly, sometimes unbelievers rather see power. Nicodemus came and told Jesus, nobody can do this except God is with him. But Christians and people, Pharisees, couldn't see. When Jesus healed the woman who was bent over, the Pharisees were rather angry that he has healed on the Sabbath day, instead of saying that, nobody can do this except God. Religious people don't see the power. They are so filled with their rules and their ideas, they never see when God is moving, when God is powerfully manifesting. They come up with, but this should not be the case. It should not be like this. Why is he doing it this way? What is he doing this? Why is this? Why is he talking like that? Who does he think? Why is he saying? Who did it? Why did he do it? That's a religious man. But sometimes unbelievers who don't have such thoughts, they look and they say, no. Nobody can do this except God is with him. That's a pure heart. But the religious pastors, you see, they come up with, why is he? Who does he think he is? Why is he saying this? Who is he? What does he say? Why does he do that? Who does he? What does he say? Hey, does he think he's what? Hey! Are you religious or you are ready to see something? Ready to see something. I know you are ready to see something. There are a lot of God lovers in this. When I came here, I knew there were a lot of God lovers here. I said, there are a lot of God lovers here. God lovers. Good things and great things happen for God lovers. He says, because he has set his love on me, I will show him my salvation. I will satisfy him. Long life. I will deliver him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll honor him. Wow. I'll set him on high. With long life, I will satisfy him. I'll show him my salvation. Shandala baka sando baba baba la ba shandala baba. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. The anointing. The anointing. Do you want the anointing? Do you want the anointing? Yeah. This is a great secret. While Peter, listen, every pastor and Christian leader, start listening. You see, I realize that many churches do not have the culture of listening to messages. You don't have the culture. So even I teach people the podcast. We have a podcast. It will come on your phone free. If you get it, subscribe to my name. Just go to podcast on your phone or podcast addict. If you have a Samsung phone and so on. Go to Podcast Addict. Go to the Google Play Store and download it. It's free. Then you search for my name, Dag Heward Mills. Then you get the podcast. My podcast will come on your phone every time. It's free. And even this conference, all that we are preaching at this conference, it will come on your phone free. You don't have to buy any tape. Again, it just lands on your phone. If you use Apple, iPhone, just get the podcast and Google my name. You'll see Dag Heward Mills Conference. Then there, this King's Williamstown Pastors Conference will appear on your phone free. You don't buy CD. You don't buy anything. It's free. You listen. Doesn't use your battery. Doesn't use much credit. You see, I'm saying it this way because many people think somebody is trying to do business. If we are doing business, we will not be here and we will not be doing it like this. We are trying to show you something that will be a blessing to you. That's why we brought this Machaneh. It's one of the most powerful. I asked God, what is the powerful part of my ministry? I was so shocked. I thought God was going to say the crusades. Or the church. And he said, no, the camps. Yes. And I asked the Lord, why do you say the camp? He said, because of the effect. defect. Most of the people who work in the ministry, they were at a camp. They listen to this. Either the Makane, one of these things, or rich, whatever. Usually that's, they say, no, I would like to work for God. I have people who used to work at Wall Street. They used to work here, England, America, different. All of them just say, I want to just work for the Lord. I say, oh, come. Come. Work for God. Yeah. Many, many lawyers. I have lawyers. Several lawyers. Some of the girls you see around, they are lawyers. They look as if they are just, I mean. Some of them are doctors. Yeah. So he told me, it's the effect that shows you the power. So the camp, as you listen to it, it will have a certain effect. Yeah. And as you listen, God is going to change your life. And as you read, God is going to change your life. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Stand to your feet for a moment. Eight. Lift your hand and ask God to speak to you. And I believe he's already spoken to you, but ask him to speak to you again.
Saw the
Hallelujah. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 10. I'm going to share with you a miracle scripture. This scripture transmits miracles into your ministry. Revelation chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1. It says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. Wow.
Verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth.
That means like, roar!
And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices.
Look, this angel had one foot in King William's town, and one foot in the sea. Can you imagine how tall this angel would be? Is the sea nearby? Is there a sea nearby? Not so far. Yes. So, yeah. So imagine from here to there.
60K.
It is the biggest angel in the Bible. Of all the angels described, Revelation's 10 angel is the mega angel of the whole Bible. I don't know whether when we get to heaven there'll be bigger ones. But this is the mega, super double mega sized angel of the Bible. And I want you to see the mission of this double mega super size, super max size angel.
And wow. When the seven thunders had...
No, verse 8.
Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven...
Yes.
Spake unto me again.
Uh-huh.
And said, go and take the little book which is in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto
go
the angel.
Go and to this angel which is very high. You must have needed a lift. You must have pressed maybe 24 stories. You press 24 to go up to the angel which is holding a little book.
Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel.
Wow.
Which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it.
Give me the little book. Sorry.
And he said unto me, take it and eat it up.
Take it and what?
Eat it up.
Eat. Did he say read?
No.
He said eat. You see, he wasn't giving him meat that he would say, eat this bread. He was giving him a book and he said, eat the book. Because the word read is in the Bible. That's why at the point he said, even in Revelations, in chapter 1, he said, blessed is he that readeth it. So those words were used. He could have said, blessed is he that readeth, or go and take the book and read. But in this case, the double mega super size super max angel was carrying a book, and they were asking him to go and take the book and not read it and be blessed with read. Blessed is he that readeth. No.
Eat it up.
Wow.
Yeah. Eat it up.
Okay.
And it shall make thy belly bitter. But it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey.
You see, initially, the revelation of God is sweet. Initially. But if really it enters you, it will be bitter. As I stand here in the ministry, there are many bitter aspects of what I'm doing and of the ministry. Initially, it's sweet and nice. You see, David, he was in 1 Samuel 15, he was anointed. By the end of that chapter, he was invited to the palace. By chapter 16, he was killing Goliath and people were singing. But by chapter 17, they were chasing him with javelins. Yes. So after some time, it changes. And you start to suffer the effect of being chosen by God. There are negative things about being chosen by God. Every time a person is chosen by God, there is a bitterness that comes with being chosen by God. And that is part of the calling. That is why Jesus said, "Do not think that I am come to bring peace on the earth. I have come to set a man at variance with his father, and a woman at variance with her mother-in-law, and a man at variance with his son. And yea, a man's enemy shall be them of his own household." And he said that anyone who loves his brothers and sisters and mother and father more than he loves me. In other words, you love them so much that you don't want any conflict with them. He's not worthy of me. Yes. You can't be. You have to accept the conflict and division that may be forced to come because the anointing is on you and has selected you for a work. That's something that comes with the work of ministry. Yes. So take it, it shall be sweet in your mouth. Your mouth is the initial part. But as it goes deeper, you see that even though everybody was happy in the beginning, it is bringing some bitterness. But let's read on and see what's going to happen.
And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up.
Are you there? He took the book in obedience, and what did he do?
And ate it up.
Ate it up.
And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
Wow.
And he said unto me,
now that you have eaten the book, when you eat something, it becomes part of you. So if you eat a lot of chisanyama, it's part of your meat. So when I hold you, this is actually chisanyama, it's bread, it's chips, it's that has converted into your meat. Samosa. So when you eat a book, it becomes part of you. Yeah. So when you even preach, people think that it's an original message. Like me, people think I preach an original message, but they don't know that I'm number one copycat, art of following. The art of following is the greatest secret to catching up. Write it down. The art of following is the greatest secret to catching up with people who are ahead of you. All of us have somebody who is ahead. The art of following, this book, is the greatest secret to catching up with people that are ahead of you. People don't know. And the art of following is defined in the first chapter, is the art of copying, emulating, imitating, doing what you see being done. Becoming analos. In Greek, it means another of the same kind. Alos, not a heteros, which is another of a different kind. The art of catching up. Everybody say catching up.
Catching up.
Catching up.
Catching up.
Catching up. Wow. How many want to catch up? You are catching up from this afternoon. I tell you, you are catching up. 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 Now, doctor, what is going to happen after eating this book?
And he said unto me, thou must prophesy.
Thou must what?
Prophesy.
Prophesy. What is prophesying? Preaching, prophesying, is same thing.
Thou must prophesy again before many peoples.
Many people.
and nations,
nations,
and tongues,
tongues,
and kings,
kings. Wow. Your ministry is about to be translated into a new dimension. After reading certain books, not reading, eating, you are going to prophesy or preach again before many people. Some of you have been talking to few people. Little groups. I used to have my service with 7 people. We sit in a circle. After the anointing came upon me, I am now speaking to more people. Many. Recently they checked, they said the highest podcast in Africa, whatever, was myself. And the podcast people.